Tara Vandeveer joins us on Sports Byline. She's become the third college basketball coach, men's or women's, to win 1,000 games. And she's been the head coach at Stanford for more than 30 years. She also coached at Idaho and Ohio State. She led the Cardinal to two NCAA women's basketball championships. And her 1996 Olympic team was considered to be one of the best ever assembled. And they compiled an 80-0 record over the course of that year, culminating in the gold medal at the Olympics in Atlanta. And, of course, she's been inducted into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame and the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. I know you don't like to make a big to-do about things like this, but when you've had a chance to now reflect on it, what is it that you've appreciated about what you were able to accomplish, Tara?
Well, first of all, Ron, thank you for having me on. And just, you know, it's really a pleasure to have a chance to talk to you again. And you know, what I realized really quickly after winning 1,000 is how hard it was to get one. And it's just each game is such a battle. So I guess that 1,000 kind of came into perspective for me, you know, just moving on past 1,000.
What was it allowed you to steel yourself? Because as you've said, and I've heard you say this many times before, that each game is a battle. And you would think after battling, especially winning 1,000 of those battles, that it would wear you down in some way. So what steeled you for that battle?
Well, I think there is a part of you that, you know, does sometimes get tired or frustrated or, you know, maybe, you know, you just wonder, boy, how can I keep going with this? But when you coach really, really great players and great people, and you work at a place like the places I've worked at, Idaho and Ohio State and Stanford, and we have such a fabulous staff and fans, you know, you're able to get back up real quick if you're, you know, knocked down. And, you know, you want to do the best job you can for the people you're working with.
I have a quote here in front of me, and I thought it was interesting because it does kind of sum you up. My strength as a coach is preparation to get everyone to buy into this is how we're going to play. How hard is it to get a team collectively to buy into one plan?
Well, I think it's very hard, but it works. I think it works best when you have, you know, great senior leadership and when your best players are also your hardest workers and they buy in. And, you know, if you have those people buying in, then the rank and file, you know, will follow along easier.
How long did it take for that rank and file down at Stanford to get to where you wanted it to be so that it could replicate itself each year?
Well, each year is a different puzzle to put together with different players and, you know, different, you know, you're playing different combinations of people. I think there's sometimes when you get it going and you get really good, in some ways that attracts players that they want to be part of that, but when it's their turn, sometimes they don't know how hard they have to work to really have you win championships. And then, you know, if you're sometimes people are going along, they might ride the coattails of the great players, but when it's their turn, you know, they might not want to do the work, or sometimes they'll say, you know, they want to wear the sweatshirt without sweating. So it's really important to get young players who are hungry, who come into the system, learn the culture, understand what it takes, and then when it's their turn, they're really ready and they do the work and the preparation to be kind of the next wave. And then they also develop the players behind them so that when it's their turn, they're ready.
I think everybody would agree that Stanford can't be either a football factory or be said to be a football factory or a basketball factory. That environment down there, having been immersed in it as I had for a number of years, I understand it and everything. How do you see it and how did you see it along the way as a coach, the athletes you recruited, the environment they both studied in and also played in?
Well, I think it's very challenging to find either a, you know, male basketball player or a football player and any athlete really that has the combination of academic and athletic, you know, prowess, the whole package. And when you do, it's really exciting, you know, to have a player like Jennifer Agee or Sonia Henning or Katie Stedding. I mean, Val Whiting. I could go through all the All-Americans, the, you know, players of the year, those players, Kate Starbuck, the Ogoma Kay sisters, Candace Wiggins. I mean, it just, to find them, though, is hard. And then, you know, to put the team together, you need more than one or two great players. You know, you've got to have really, you know, the complete package through and through. And, you know, but when you do find those players, it's really exciting to work with that caliber of student athlete. And it is a true student athlete. And I think it's the ultimate challenge for me as a coach and my staff to find those players. And then, you know, they're players you've got to develop. You're not going to be able to sign a real, you know, you don't run people off, and you're not going to be able to get transfers or, you know, get junior college players. You've got to develop that team. And that's what's fun about it.
Tara, when you think about the athlete that you do have, the fact that coming to Stanford, being able to get into Stanford, you've got to be accomplished. Now, accomplished overall, both academically and also on a personal basis. Does that make coaching and teaching the way you teach a little bit easier?
Well, I think there's advantages and disadvantages of any place that you would coach at. There are some advantages to working with the, you know, maybe the type of student athlete that I work with, but I think there's some disadvantages too. There are, I think, especially in this day and age of social media and everything else that we work in, a lot of the great student athletes, you know, maybe some of the great players and great students, they're not used to things not going their way. So I think the biggest challenge is to develop resilience and grit and kind of a, you know, thing when things don't go your way, that then you can double down and work harder. And, you know, there are players that maybe, you know, they might be great players, but they might not be great students. And so, but our Stanford students are really outstanding in both. And then all of a sudden they come to Stanford and wow, they might not be the smartest kid in class, or they might not be the best basketball player on the court. And that is sometimes that's a tough adjustment.
You've won two NCAA titles. You've also gone to the Final Four 11 times. And I always think about the way you've touched your players, because there's such love and loyalty there. And you don't really hear that a lot when it comes to collegiate athletics, particularly on the male side. I know you've gone into homes, and when you recruit, you talk about basketball for a long time, but you also talk about Stanford and the student life and everything. What type of reaction do you get in recruiting those type of athletes, and also your closeness to your athletes over the years? What has that meant to you?
Well, you know, I think first of all, we work really hard to not sugarcoat, you know, how tough it is to get into Stanford, how academically and athletically challenging it is, and to really paint a picture for a possible student athlete of this is how it is, not get them to Stanford and say surprise. And also what our expectations are as coaches and what we value. And, you know, we maybe watch a player play and they have great grades, but we want maybe not someone who wants to be the best player on the team, but someone who wants to be the best teammate. We want players that are going to make our team great and that have really high goals and expectations. You know, once you get a good fit with, a student athlete, what I find at Stanford is that they are an extremely close team. You know, they're not going home for weekends. It's not like you're a state university and they live down the road. I mean, our players are from all over the country, and they really depend on each other for a lot of support, which they get from each other. And then as a coach, I feel that I'm kind of the local parent and, you know, overseeing things with them and, you know, being, I would say I'm a strict parent, you know, that this is, you know, a loving parent, but a strict parent, like this is how we do things here. And we're going to be on time. We're going to treat people well. All the things that, you know, I think are important in, you know, basically a family situation, and not wanting it to be dysfunctional, but wanting to be a very supportive, positive, enthusiastic environment. And then once, you know, we have, I think we have a sisterhood, and we've had, you know, different really real sisters on the team. I think that sisterhood has continued throughout the time that even, you know, some of them have graduated. Sometimes it takes a little time for them to get away, and then they'll come back to me and I say, well, remember when you said this to me? And I'm like, no, I don't. But, you know, someone like I'm very close to, like Jennifer Azy, or, you know, people like Olympia Scott called me 1 hour after she had her first child, and you know, different things with players that, you know, the tribute that I got from so many players on the 1,000 wins, the video or the emails or text messages, and they're all very, very meaningful.
I have had the pleasure and the honor to be, of course, associated with you, but also with Pat Summitt, the late Pat Summitt, and I think about you all in the same vein. When you think about what you and what Pat have done for women's athletics, particularly basketball, do you have a sense of satisfaction for what you've done?
Yes, and you know, Pat was a great friend and a great mentor and a great competitor. And, you know, quite honestly, Ron, if we hadn't scheduled Tennessee, we would have made 1,000 a lot faster. But, you know, she had obviously a great program. And, you know, I learned a lot from playing against, whether it's Tennessee or Connecticut or the very best teams in the country. I don't really sit down and pat myself on the back. I'm more apt to be watching video to get ready for our next game.
Tell me a little bit about your mother, because she was a basketball fan, I guess, as well, because she would question you when you were playing and when you were young and everything. Tell me a little bit about her.
Well, both of my parents were teachers. My dad's passed away, but both my mom and my dad were teachers. And I think that they, you know, they're great role models for me to watch and, you know, learn from and listen to about how to teach. And I think that's the number one thing is, you know, my mom is always a positive and is always a positive person. She actually knows a lot more about basketball than she gives herself credit for. She's just a natural observer. When she watches teams play, you know, she sees what happens and she just kind of reports on it. You know, this player looks really good, and you know, it was an All-American. I'm like, yeah, she's really good. But, you know, I think in the beginning, my parents weren't really convinced that basketball was really anything that could take you anywhere. You know, they were like, why are you spending so much time at basketball? You know, coaching wasn't even an option as, you know, a career. And they wanted me to focus more on my academics and, you know, go to law school or do something that would, you know, maybe support me the rest of my life. And it turns out basketball, in fact, has been a great career for me. And my mother is very supportive. She is at the 1,000 win game, and she will be coming to the Pac-12 tournament. She's a big fan of all kinds of sports, and especially when her daughters are coaching.
I love the quote from you the night that you won the 1,000th game. And that was the fact you said, let's win this game to your players. Let's win this game so we can put mom on a flight back to Boulder. I just laughed
right
out loud.
Well, you know, my mom actually had been out for the week. She was staying with a friend. And that friend was leaving, so my mom was going to be coming and staying with me. And I love my mom, and I'm very close to her, and I love having her visit. But during the season, you know, it's just I need to focus on what I'm doing. And I just thought it was a way to kind of keep it light with our team and, you know, not, you know, get them laughing about things and not have them feeling any extra pressure, but to, you know, kind of just say, hey, come on, help me out here. And they did.
We've got about 30 seconds here. I'm sure you're also proud of your coaching tree, those that have left you and gone on into successful professions themselves as head coaches.
Definitely, whether they're head coaches, assistant coaches, and, you know, I'm really proud of the people I work with at Stanford that have been very loyal and worked very hard for me. Amy Tucker, Kate Pay, and Tempe Brown are just, you know, exceptional assistant coaches. And anything that I've accomplished is it's our team sport. It's not me doing it by myself. And I'm smart enough to know that I need great people around me, great players, and great staff.
Tara, I want to thank you for your friendship over the years. You've been so kind to me, and I just I kind of bask in your success because it's so well-deserved. You're welcome here anytime. Take care, Tara.
Thank you, Ron.
Tara Vanderveer with us. She became the third college basketball coach, men or women's, to win 1,000 games. We continue with more of You in Sports Byline.